Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church here that is doing church and advancing the gospel in a very difficult society. And in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, he says that for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ. Wow, listen to this. The Bible here is telling us that everything that was written, in other words, everything that God has written to us in the Word of God, everything in the Scriptures, is basically written to impart two major things to us while we are in this life. It says everything was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That means the Word of God, the living Word of God that educates the mind, that stirs the heart, that motivates the will, that the Bible says is living, that has the power to transform our lives from the inside out. What God's telling us here is that everything of the Scriptures, the way that we read, in other words, what are the Scriptures designed to do in our hearts and mind? They are designed to give us endurance and encouragement. Those two things. Now, that's kind of both exciting, but it's also a little scary. I want you to think about that. Because if it says that God, everything in the Scripture are designed, number one, to give us endurance. See, if you endure something, that means that you're not enjoying it. See, endurance actually means to stand up or to bear up under difficulty. And here in the Bible, here's where we get the concept of you know, Christian suffering and going through trials and going through difficulties and going through discouragements. That word suffering actually means to experience pain or distress. So what the Bible's telling us is, look, you're in this world, you are not going to enjoy everything. Now, I'm going to talk about this because I think in the body of Christ, what we've done is we've confused endurance and enjoyment. You can still enjoy God. You can still enjoy the life He's given you. But guess what? There's going to be some hardships in your life that you're not going to enjoy, but you can endure with the power of God. And so if the Bible says that everything in the Scriptures, there's basically two main purposes of the type of strength that God's Word gives us. It gives us endurance. That means the ability or the power to bear up under difficulty, and it gives us encouragement. So how many of you know if God's saying, you know, everything's written so that you would be encouraged, that means there's going to be some things that are going to make us discouraged. That's why the Holy Spirit is our counselor. The Holy Spirit is our encourager. Because in this world, we're going to face discouragement. But I want you to know that no matter what hardship you're facing, no matter what you have to endure, I want to let you know that in all things, God loves you and God is for you. And when we understand that there's basically two ways that we mature as believers, we mature through devotion. That's prayer and worship and reading the Word of God and renewing our mind in the Word of God. But the other way that we mature is through pain and through endurance. And if we have this right perspective, this right attitude that, look, we are called to endure. Gang, there are going to be things in your life that you're not going to enjoy. There are going to be things in your life that are going to produce a hardship. There's going to be discouragements. There's going to be disappointments. It is the world that we live in. And that's why it's so important for our hearts to be focused on God and understand that our home is not here. Our home is in heaven. And we can't put too much stock in this world in trying to get all of our expectations into our life and all of our problems being fixed just the way that we want them fixed. We've got to put our heart in Christ and in the life to come and in eternal life and be driven by eternity. Look what Jesus says here in John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, I've told you these things. Come on, Christ is telling his disciples because, man, he's about to go to the cross. They're experiencing some distress. They're disturbed right here. And Jesus is like, look, I told you so. Jesus says, look, I told you so. I've told you these things so that in me, in Christ, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. Have you ever thought about the question, how could a loving God allow so much calamity and evil and injustice to go on in the world? Well, God, in his infinite wisdom, when he made the choice to allow man, you and me, to have a free will, right then God made the choice to allow injustice in the world temporarily. Because when Jesus comes back, there will be no more injustice. Are you following me? When Jesus comes back, every tear will be wiped away. When God in his infinite wisdom allowed man to have a free will and be a free moral agent, and choose good or evil, when he made that decision, he allowed there to be evil and injustice in this world temporarily until Christ sets up his reign on the earth. And wherever selfishness is, there is the propensity for evil. Wherever selfishness is, which is basically human nature defined as selfishness, wherever selfishness is, there's the propensity for evil on a very small scale and also on a very large scale. That's why in the regions of the world where you find the greatest injustice and the greatest pain and the greatest suffering, if you follow that down, what you will find is people, not God, who are serving themselves at the expense and suffering of others. That's why Jesus, at the very core of his mission, said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. There's only one person in this world that can rule the world with total justice, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one day every knee will bow. One day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. But what God wanted in this temporary season, he wanted to give man the ability to choose so that he could have a loving relationship by choice. And because of that, there is now temporarily allowed for evil and injustice in the world. It happens to Christians. It happens to non-Christians. I want to remind you this. Yes, man, we believe God for miracles. Yes, we believe God, and there's a covenant of protection in Christ. But can I tell you this? The Bible also says it's important unto a man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. God does not promise you. He doesn't say, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt live to 84 and a half years old, yay? No, you know what Jesus says? He says, look, if you desire to come after me, you need to deny yourself. Take up your cross. In other words, choose my will over your will. That's why at Celebration Church, we talk about the God first life. Take up your cross and follow me, because here's what he says. Whoever wants to save his life must lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake in this world will find it in the next. The only way to experience true life during this temporary season of injustice is to lose your life in the Lord Jesus Christ and make your permanent residence his eternal kingdom, where justice and righteousness will prevail forever and ever. So look, he says you will have trouble. Come on, put that on your refrigerator. I'm telling you, it'll help some of us. Some of you are like, okay, finally a message I can relate to. Trouble. You have trouble, you are trouble. You have a shirt that says, here comes trouble. But look what Jesus says. You will have trouble. I love this. He says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In other words, what he's saying is, look, I have overcome this world. There is another world, and one day those two will meet. In other words, this world, all of its pain and suffering, I've not come to condemn, but I have come to save. And the best life that you possibly could have in this world of trouble is a life surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, look, in this world, your body's going to experience trouble. Your mind is going to experience trouble. You're going to have lots of circumstances that are going to bring you trouble. He says, but look, you don't have to let your heart be troubled. He says, take heart. Make sure that your heart is siding with me and my purposes and my lordship, and your heart is not engaged in all of the trouble and the pain, and you're putting all this stock in this life. If your heart is totally consumed with the cares of this world and this life alone, it's going to be ripped apart. And all of a sudden, instead of pain being a catalyst for you to grow as a Christian and become stronger and develop a deeper trust for Christ and allowing more of the life of God to flow through you, all of a sudden that pain can define you in regret, in bitterness, in hurt. Make sure your heart is in the right place. Can I have a good amen to that? Your heart is with Jesus. And know this, look what it says, Romans chapter 8, 37. You're like, Stovall, man, but you don't know what I'm going through. You're right, I don't know what you're going through, but I know what, I know God knows what you're going through. And I know what God's word says. And here's the deal with the word of God. Didn't we just read where it says God, in other words, he structured, he arranged, he wrote his living word so that through this word we could get endurance and encouragement. Stop listening to what you're telling yourself, what the world is telling you. It is so difficult because of the context that some of you live in. See, we're all born in context. In other words, your past, your experiences, where you are, your filters, all those things, that is the context from which you are coming from. And that is a very loud voice. It's the context, how you grew up, how you grew your father, and relationships and all these kind of things and addictions, and you've got this context. We all have this context. That is the loudest voice in our life until, watch this, until we learn to trust the Word of God. If the Word of God was not living and active and all-powerful, it could never speak louder than the voice of the context of your life. But I want to let you know, your pain will not define you. Your failures will not define you. Your past sufferings will not define you. God has created his word to define you and his purpose to define you. And the love of God and the love that God has for you is greater than any trial that you're facing. Look what it says right here. I'm on the wrong page. Man, I need some AC on the stage or I am going to start sweating like a mammy jammy up here. Whew. Are y'all hot? Okay, just edit that out of the TV show. Man, I am like sweating. I'm hot up here. I'm hot. I need to preach on hell. I tell you what, a message on hell would be real. In fact, one weekend I need to do a message on hell, like an intellectually safe one, not like an old school. I mean, when I was growing up, I'd see these preachers preach on hell. Okay, thank you for that. Thank you very much. Edit that out. So anyway, when I was growing up, I would watch these preachers on hell, and they'd be preaching on hell, man, and it was like they were almost, you know, they were so red, and they were sweating, and they're like, you're gonna fry, you're gonna burn in hell, hell, hot, 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 hot. And I was all confused, and I'd be like, first, I was trying to figure out, okay, do you want me to go to hell or not? Because it seems like you kind of want me to go there. You're saying you don't want me there, but Not really sure, but anyway, Jesus said a lot about hell. And once you understand it, why it's there, what it's for, first of all, you really want to avoid it, okay? And then you'll be thankful that Jesus came to save us from it. But look what he says, watch. No matter what you're going through, Romans 8:37, it says, no, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, your trust, your joy, your peace, everything has to be based on Christ, Christ alone, and his love for you. That is what is sure in this life. Jesus and his love. Everything could be going great for you right now, gang. It could all change tomorrow. Our heart has to be focused and grounded on God's love for us, that we're the children of God, that God has great things for us. Look what it goes on to say. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, in other words, any kind of attack on your life, any type of death around your life, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, any injustice of government or unfairness or anything else, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so what God is saying here is that you have to know how much God loves you, and you have to know that the love of God is greater than anything that you're facing. And no matter what you're going through, if you will trust in God, what you will find out is that God's love for you is greater than any challenge that you're facing. If you'll trust in him, and come to him and rely on him in the process. Look at this. How many of you believe God loved the Apostle Paul? Don't y'all believe God loved the Apostle Paul? Don't y'all believe God loved the 12 disciples and loved Peter and then also, you know, Paul's students like Timothy? Look at these. Look at the Apostle Paul. This is the guy that's always fired up, always talking about joy, always talking about victory, always talking about how grateful he is, how thankful he is. He's very, very positive. Look at this. Are you ready to be encouraged? This is going to encourage you. These are like encouraging scriptures you need to put on your refrigerator. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Here's trouble. That we were burdened beyond measure. Some translations say that we were under so much pressure we're about to crack. How many of you have ever been under so much pressure? You just feel like you're about to crack. You just can't take it, man. Look at this. He says, we were burdened beyond measure, above strength. Basically, the language there is that I just couldn't take it anymore. So that we despaired even of life. In other words, we thought we were going to die, and that might as well be the best thing. We couldn't take it anymore. We were in complete and utter despair of life. Be encouraged. But I thought the Apostle Paul, you know, the God loved him, and you know, he wrote all the new, you know, all these kind of things. Guess what? The story doesn't end there. It's a season, it's temporary, it's something that the Apostle Paul went through. It was a hardship that he had to endure. And during that time, believe it or not, he was still able to have peace and joy and to enjoy his relationship with God, even though he had to endure a great hardship. Don't confuse endurance and enjoyment. And that's why I say this. I believe the presence of God, it is one of the fine pleasures that God gives us in life. That's why the presence of God, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We're emotional beings. God is a God of emotions. We're created in the image of God. You can look all through the Bible where God's, you know, God's happy, God's grieved, you know, God's, you know, whatever. You see that God is a God of emotions. There's obviously love and passion and so forth that goes with love, and God loves us with a great love. It talks about that the Holy Spirit is even jealous for us. He's a God of emotions. We're created in the image of God. And that's why one of the great pleasures in this world of trouble that we have is the deposit of the Holy Spirit and the love of God in our life, where with our senses, in praise and worship, in communion and devotion of God, we can taste, in other words, we can experience in our emotions the presence of God. How many of you can say amen to that? I believe it's one of the finest pleasures and benefits that we have in life. That's why the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, you need to do some fine dining with the Holy Spirit. It is a great pleasure. It's a great benefit. And no matter where you are in your walk with God, you can always experience the power and the presence of God. Look what he says here to Timothy. Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with enjoying your relationship with God, enjoying your life, but you must endure hardship. It's going to come. Anything that you endure, you do not enjoy. If you're in a financial hardship right now, you're not going to enjoy that, but you can still enjoy God. You can still come to God, remember what I said, and trust God in the pain and say, Lord, I trust you. What are you trying to teach me? I want to grow in this situation. You can come to learn Christ in a greater way. When my parents got divorced, when I was 12 years old, I didn't enjoy that. I had to endure that. If you've been abused, or you're going through a divorce, or there's sexual sin, or whatever that, you know, you're in some kind of addiction or bound or whatever it is, or maybe it's something just like, you know, your career's not working out the way that you wanted it, or you feel like you're put on the shelf, or God's not using you, whatever those are things to endure, not enjoy. And what happens in the body of Christ is, you know, maybe even you're a new mother. You know, and you have children. Now all of a sudden, you know, you're home all day and you don't talk to adults anymore. You know, you're a young mom and your whole conversation for, you know, 16 hours a day is goo goo ga ga. Eat this, dude. You know. And you're starving for some adult conversation and your husband gets home at 8 o'clock at night and just like, oh, I'm wiped out, man. Turn on the TV. And you're trying to talk to him. Hey, what's going on? You're just, please let me talk to an adult. Please let him talk to me. Please be an adult. Please. What's going on? Let me tell you what I did today. You know, I went down to Target and there was this little dress of flowers in it. And the husband is sitting there like. And finally turns to him and says, is this a money issue? Can I give you money? What can I do? Can we stop? Can I take out the trash? Is there a code? Is there a written code in here? Let me just tell me what it is. But all of a sudden, you know, you're making these transitions into these different seasons of life. And yes, there's enjoyment and you enjoy your kids and we enjoy the journey and we enjoy the presence of God. But it's in these different seasons for the most part that are very temporary. That God has called us to endure. Endure hardship as a good soldier. And know that in that endurance, you go for the scriptures. They give you the power to endure. But that also you can have encouragement. And also you can grow in your relationship with God. And you can come into a greater trust of Him. You can know His love in a greater way. It's in the times of endurance, as the Bible says, the fellowship of His sufferings, that we know we can grow into a greater appreciation and understanding of how much God loves us. 2 Timothy 2:10. Can we say this? I'm willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. Many times your hardship that you don't like, guess what? God has allowed it. And He has set it up, and He's going to use that to witness to other people. He's going to use that as a testimony to other people. Now, when I'm talking about hardship, pain, and suffering, God did not do that. God is not the author of that. God is a good God, but God does allow it. In other words, God many times will not intervene. He will allow it. He will allow those things, but all the way through the process, He doesn't do it. He allows it. Temporarily in this world to teach you to become an overcomer, to do some great things on the inside of your heart so that you'll grow into a greater love for Him, so that you can affect more people for Christ during your short time on this earth. Man, I'll tell you, you know what this earth is? This earth is a battle zone, man. It is like a war zone. And there's casualties. That's why it says fight the good fight of faith. Endure hardship as a good soldier. Soldier. Think about that word. Soldier. A soldier, what? He's in war. He's in battle. Man, your kids are on drugs and they're being bombarded by this, and there's all these things pressing in on you, and you just lost your job, and all of a sudden somebody lied about you, and it seems like everything's going wrong. Can I tell you that in all that craziness, Christ is still in control, and Christ is teaching you, put your heart in me, put your trust in me, and watch how my power will do miracles in all these situations that you're facing. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. It's through the times of enduring that God brings us to a greater level of spiritual authority. 2 Timothy 4:5, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Hebrews 12:7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? In other words, I like this. Whatever pain and suffering that you're going through, even though God most of the time did not cause that, he's not the author of that, because that has been allowed, just treat that as discipline. In other words, just say to yourself, you did it, the devil did it, you know, whatever's going on, just say to yourself right now, God, I'm coming to you. And I'm going to take this hardship in my life, and I'm going to allow you to form some things on the inside of me. I'm going to take this as discipline as your son or your daughter. Okay, so a nuclear bomb might hit tomorrow. Let's pray. I'm only kidding. All right, so is there hope? No, there's not. Let's hit. No, watch. Romans 15:13, here we go. I love this. Here's how we wrap it up here. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope, everybody say the God of hope. He's a God, he is a God of hope. That word hope, it's not how we use it in our vocabulary. It's not just wishful thinking or maybe or this might work out, but it means a certain future. It is a certain future. May the God of your certain future, talking about a certain future expectation, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is God's will for you to experience joy regardless of what you're going through. It is God's will for you to experience joy. That's why Jesus said that the joy that he gives us, look at John chapter 14, 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In other words, God gives us peace. We also have a joy in Christ. It's not as the world gives, it's as Jesus gives. Now watch this. Joy is very, very important to God. You know why? Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God, that's where the lordship of Christ is righteousness, peace, and joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you do not have joy in this life based on your trust in Christ and your love for him, what happens is this. Here's what it says. May you have joy and peace in everything that you're going through throughout all your days in this troubled world as you trust in him. See, here's the problem. We're in hardship. We're in challenges. We're in all these things, but we're not trusting in God. So we're not experiencing the peace and the joy. In other words, we're trusting in our own expectations. We're trusting in other people to help us. We're trusting in this to change. We're trusting in that to change. We're trusting in all the expectations and other people. We're trusting in our money. We're trusting in all the wrong things. Those things won't give us peace and joy. But when you go to your knees and you say, God, this is not fair. I don't understand this, but Lord, I trust in you, and I know that you love me. I know that somehow all things are going to work for good because you love me, God, and I'm called according to your purpose in Romans 8:28. God, I know Romans 8:37, that sweaty preacher, what's his name, Stonewall, whatever he was talking about. Was talking about Romans 8:37. God, then I'm more than a conqueror because you love me. Nothing can separate me from your love. So God, right now in this situation, God, I trust you and I surrender to you, God. I'm not going to let my heart get ripped apart in the pain of this world. I'm going to take heart. I'm going to guard my heart and I'm going to trust in you. And when you do that, guess what? Supernaturally, all of a sudden, joy and peace is exchanged for that trust. May God give you joy and peace as you trust in him. And then all of a sudden, your attitude changes. Then all of a sudden, there's a peace and there's a calm and there's a strength about you, even though you might be facing a very difficult situation. And then it goes on, look what it says. It says, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just full of hope. God wants you overflowing with hope. I mean that you're overflowing with this certain future expectation that your home is not here, it's in heaven, and that God is going to work all this stuff out. That he's going to, that everything is a season. He's going to give you that breakthrough. He's going to give you that miracle. We've just got to trust him and endure in the process. And at the same time, know that we can enjoy God in the process. That's why we're Celebration Church, man. We are throwing down every weekend, regardless of how bad it is. Or how good it is. We're throwing down. If things are going great, we're throwing down. Things are going bad, we're throwing down. Man, we're not here to celebrate this world, celebrate ourselves. We're here to celebrate Christ, and we're here to trust in him. It's God's will for you to experience joy regardless of what you're going through. It's God's will for you to have peace regardless of what you're going through. And it's God's will for you to overflow. I love that word, overflow with hope. You know what that means? You're not only full of hope, you're overflowing. It's contagious. People get around you and they're like, wow, man, you're facing this. Look at the blessing of God in your life. And I do want to say this. God wants to bless you. This is not a doom and gloom message. You know what this is? This is a message of encouragement to help you learn how to properly filter and process the challenges and hardships that you're facing in life. Our joy is based on Christ. Don't confuse enjoyment and endurance. They might seem like opposites, but guess what? In the kingdom of God, they go right together. We have joy. We have peace. We can enjoy God. We enjoy our lives. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for heaven. We're driven by eternity. We see miracles. We see breakthroughs all the time in this life, and it's awesome. But you know what? At the end of the day, Christ is all that we need. And his love for us is greater than anything that we'll ever face. Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You can experience God's love in any situation. And I believe it's one of the finer things in life. It's one of the most precious pleasures that we have in this troubled world. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.